This episode of FilmSack is brought to you in part by Audible.com. At audiblepodcast.com/FilmSack, you can get a free audiobook of your choice. Choose from over 150,000 titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. FilmSack recommends Born Standing Up, A Comic's Life by Steve Martin. It's awesome. I'll talk more about it in the core of the show here in a bit. It's audiblepodcast.com/FilmSack. Get that free audiobook download today.
No, I don't need help. I don't need help.
Come on, give me this.
I'm all right. I'm just tired.
You're not all right. You're collapsing from stress.
You're
now let me help.
From stress? We're all collapsing. This whole f***ing unit is collapsing. Everybody except you. I know you're strong, all right. So what? Stronger than me. Stronger than everyone. So what? So f***ing what?
Gas up the machine. She's down to fumes.
This is FilmSack.
Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of entertainment for all mankind. Episode, my browser crashed. Fantastic. That's what you want, right? Right in the middle of the show. Hold on. Relaunching
episode,
browser.
Episode 208.
My name is Scott Johnson. I'm joined tonight by... Hold on. These are good. Brian. Hold on. I'm joined tonight by... Here it is. Oh, phew. We're back up. Hold on. Loading. Come on.
I thought that was going to be my Brian.
No. Although, Google Docs, you really picked a great time to have a slow load, man.
Right.
Oh, come on. This is the worst intro of this show. Hold on.
No, it's not. It's actually the most fun.
I'm going to refresh.
If our last episode was Popeye, this is 207. My apologies.
Oh, it's two. Yes, you're right. It was Popeye. There is zero you can retroactively do about that. What? You didn't? Oh, yeah, I thought you were saying, you were telling me to shut up. All right, here it is. Brian, let go of that poll, Dunaway.
Oh, I like that one. Inner zombie dialogue, day 24. You know, being a zombie ain't so bad. Back when I was still alive, I was always rushing headlong into the fray, just jumping right out there and grabbing life by the scrot. Now look at me. Just hanging out with 50 of my... Just hanging out with 50 of my best dead friends, riding down a really slow lift. Oh, we're here. Just going to casually step off. Oh, no. Zombie feet. And I'm down. No. Zombie recovery. I'm okay now. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Rar. Wow. Brains. Rar.
Wow. And you can use a gun now. Great. Also with us, Randy, all their guns, Jordan.
Aloha, Brian, Scott, Brian. Did you know that I used to have a job building prison cells in research laboratories? Whoa. You'd be surprised how often scientists are working on projects that require they, you know, imprison people. Mm-hmm. I later went on to build sky bridges between lab buildings, and wouldn't you know it, zombies happened again, Brad Pitt.
Or Z.
Finally with this, Brian, don't eat my Walkman, Bub Ibbit.
Bang, bang, pow, click, click. That's my Foley work right there.
That's pretty good.
Damn it, I'm out of bullets. Ah, you know, they can put a man on the moon, but when are they going to make a gun that's actually reloadable? I'll just throw it.
Yeah, they did that a few times. Yeah, we're out of ammo. This is never going to be good for us again. Let's just toss it.
We'll never find ammunition for this. Ever, anywhere.
You guys may have guessed because of the word bub and a few other references. We are referring to the 1985 classic. Some would say, others might disagree, Day of the Dead by director George A. Romero, supposedly the lord of all zombie movies, right?
You can't spell classic without ass.
Right? See?
Or assic.
Yeah. Right? Somebody once told me that the problem with zombie movies that aren't George Romero movies is that people are putting guns and weapons in their hands, and that's not possible. So if they were true to the Romero legacy, then they wouldn't have zombies learning how to use weapons. Mm-hmm, this guy had a gun all over the damn place in this game, or in this game, in this movie.
That was the whole idea behind this movie, was that zombies could be trained.
I guess. They posed the question, could a zombie be trained? And Bub was the answer.
Colonel Medulla Oblongata was my favorite. Remember him on the table, just his brain stem sticking out?
Yeah, that was my favorite. he prefers just medulla.
Medulla.
Colonel
Medulla.
Yeah, hello there.
Hey, I have no teeth.
I can think just fine. it's this George Romero deal. A lot of people think it's a cult classic. I'm not quite sure where I stand. It's my first viewing, and we'll talk about it more as we get back from Scott Fletcher explaining it in his best morning voice. Scott Fletcher.
Day of the Dead. The third chapter in writer-director George Romero's zombie saga finds scientists and soldiers hiding in a bunker to escape a world overrun by the undead. The two groups butt heads, but infighting takes a backseat when zombies invade the facility.
And now I'm going back to bed because I'm clearly
sounds
tired.
Sounds like he's got a little bit of a cold there.
Or
yeah.
something, yeah.
But that's the best.
Good
that's
reading.
The best one.
Good reading, yeah. That's, that puts Fletcher up into the higher echelon of VO people.
Right.
So what? So is did anyone else see this?
He
back?
Said VO. All right. He said VO.
Voiceover. Right. V. No, is that wrong? What?
No. Right? I'm kidding. I just don't want people to think you meant BO.
Oh, BO. He has a serious case of BO. That's Scott Fletcher.
The BO with the BO.
First time for everybody or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. First time, and I've actually watched all the rest of them. This is the first time I watched Day of the Dead because. I don't know why. It just kind of slipped past me.
All I've ever seen are clips of the guy getting his guts torn out at the end, intestines falling out and all that, and maybe of Bub holding a gun. I have no other reference for this movie other than those few scenes, and I didn't know anything about what to expect.
Yeah.
And I, too, have seen everything except for... I saw everything up to Land of the Dead.
Oh, really?
Right.
I've not seen... that was like 05. What was the one after that?
They rebooted Dawn of the Dead, but it wasn't really official.
It was terrible.
Right.
I can't remember the other Romero one that's like got all social media and phones.
Island of
in
the
it.
Dead.
It's all phones and Facebook. It's super dumb.
phones and Facebook.
It was like I can't remember for sure, but it seems like it was right. And I haven't seen it, so I can't say for sure, but I thought it was a bunch of
your
kids.
Activity.
I thought it was like texting of the dead or something dumb like right. that. Like trying to be real and new.
It was Typing of the Dead, but that was a game.
Yeah, that was a video game. Let's get our crap straight here. I'll find it. But
he did Night of Living Dead again in 90? Is that was an executive producer on that one?
Yeah. Hold on. Here we go.
Survival of the Dead was in 2009.
So you got Night of the Living Dead 68. You got Dawn of the Dead 78. You got Land of the Dead 05. Right. And you got, and here it is, Night of the Living Dead in 1990. That's right. The reboot.
That's the reboot.
Then there's Land of the Dead. And then... Diary of the Dead.
Diary of the Dead. That's it.
And then Survival of the Dead.
Yeah, Diary of the Dead is supposed to be real stupid. Anyway, I think
Diary of the Dead is probably going to be pretty bad because I did the opening monologue and it's hard to to talk for a zombie. There's not much to say.
Diary.
Survival of the Dead.
One more day, I did not get brains.
That one didn't fare real well in reviews either. So I kind of feel like we may be. I mean, disagree with me, please, somebody. But do we place George Romero on too high a pedestal? I mean, I know it's
definitely.
Important for when it began. Okay, Randy, go expound because I feel this way and I don't want to be the only guy.
It's zombie movies are like ninja movies, right?
Sure.
Very, very narrow genre, not entertaining to more than a core audience. Therefore, not much done by people who are really good at making movies. Mm. Rather, you have people who specialize in those niche genres, and they do okay, right? Like, we're not saying that George Romero, like, dropped the camera and kept it in the final cut or something. You watch this entire movie, every bit of it, it's kind of bad.
It's kind of bad.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah,
what?
Brian, okay, yeah. Dunaway.
What? Okay, all right. I'm not going to say that.
Defend it.
Okay. You know, I hated this movie from the moment Miguel opened his whiny little bitch mouth. By the way, I can say bitch because this was not rated. So
it's all right. We're PG-13 around here. You're fine.
PG-13. That's right. So this is unrated on Netflix. Also, by the way, you can watch this on YouTube for free.
Oh, I didn't know that. Really?
Well, not. I don't know if it's legit or what. But
if
it's there.
If you pay a dime, you've paid too much.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, if it's on Netflix, I mean, excuse me, if it's on YouTube, we'll call it legit because I mean, YouTube hasn't shut it down. Therefore, you can watch it, so it's fine.
No, but I gotta say, I mean, I couldn't quite I started reading other people's reviews of it, and I was like, it's like you people didn't even watch this movie, because that's not why it was bad. It's like, actually, there was a few, it seemed like it was almost, it was an experiment. It felt like he had done all the rest of the zombie movies, and it was true, because he had the most time to plan for this one. And he was kind of...
Well, you know, this is only a second, third, excuse me.
He was going for a little more kind of social... It was a little bit different. It was different than the first two. The first two were straight up zombies coming at you. This one was more of a thinker, believe it or not.
Well, maybe.
Experiment. What if we did a zombie movie and didn't use any zombies?
Yeah, let's have a whole except for Bub.
It was an interesting direction.
I'm not going to lie and say that I didn't think Bub was effective or good. I actually think he's probably the best part of the movie.
He was by far.
I agree.
He seemed sympathetic and interesting, and the actor really pulled it off. And I like that guy. Right. He's cool. The lowest grossing film in all of his films, or at least certainly that trilogy anyway. But the cult following that ensued over the last 20 years or more is kind of breathtaking. Like, people think this is the one when I talk to them. They're like, this is the one you want to care about when it comes to Romero.
Really?
Yeah, and I think the mall one's better than this.
Mm-hmm. I think the mall one has more action, but this one has more social commentary. And I tell you, I don't think I've ever seen anybody portray one of those 70s hippie jerk faces as well as Miguel does. Miguel is like straight out of the late 70s.
You're really affected by Miguel. I'm hearing.
There's a lot to say about Miguel.
Yeah.
He was just, man, the way he delivered dialogue was so grating and annoying, but it was also effective because I wanted him to die. I was like, die.
Well,
die.
He was going to sacrifice himself for the greater or the worse or good.
He sacrificed himself to murder everybody else. I'm assuming that's what he was doing.
Yeah, but only the douchebags died. Most of the good people got out of there and went to an island somewhere and had their freaking Shawshank Redemption ending.
I
think it was the Keys. I think they went to the Keys.
Yeah.
Right,
because the movie takes place in Florida.
Sure.
And you would presume that you could get to a place where the zombies couldn't follow you because you would just cross a channel or, you know, something where there wasn't a bridge. Right. But man, that ending, it almost seemed like a dream sequence. And I almost thought for a second, I thought, are they going to tell us this whole thing was a dream?
Well, she woke up from another dream.
She woke up from like five dreams.
Sure that when she did it at the end, the same thing. I went, oh, that was all. Okay, that was a dream. But no, she's just remembering it. You know what? Maybe it was a dream, but it happened. She's just remembering it again, I guess.
Right. Because that's right. Yeah, she wakes up from the dream of what happened and finds that she's on the island. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was flipping weird is what really what it was. The end could have been very conclusive. It could have given you an end. But it didn't. It actually left you wondering, so what's going on back on the mainland? And what, you know?
Who cares? Fishing. You know, could this movie have, is there any way Jurassic Park could have been made without this movie? I feel like.
Yes.
Talking about.
A thousand times, yes.
I really feel like if you'd had threw just a couple of annoying kids and a Unix system into this movie.
I hope you're wearing good strong tennis shoes, because you took quite a leap there.
Yeah, that was a big one. No, I get what you're saying. It's in that vein of we're all in a compound and we have to protect ourselves from the thing.
Miguel was absolutely...
Could Terra Nova have been made without this movie?
Right? No way. So, you know, to me, what was his character's name in Jurassic Park?
Who? John Hammond, the leader?
Chaos, no, the Chaos Theory.
Dr. Goldblum.
Dr. Goldblum.
Paging
Dr. Goldblum.
Miguel was Dr. Goldblum, vice versa. He was, I think that maybe to the extreme a little bit, but I felt like there was a lot of, that Miguel character really touched me. I ain't going to lie. Literally.
Okay, that's interesting.
Right.
That's just interesting, because the characters in this movie are all caricatures. None of them have any depth whatsoever. The only moment in the film when the script finally gets its act together, the character of the scientist who's finally about to explain something after a whole movie of people just screaming at each other, he gets shot in the face. I'm sorry, all over the chest. And never actually says, you have to listen. This is one important thing I have to tell you. Pow, 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 pow.
Pow, 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 pow.
It was like the script knew it sucked.
Yep.
And was just going to tease you with the idea of better dialogue.
I like that he flopped all over the place like the fat kid in Goonies. Outside the fence. That was good.
Yeah. Doing the truffle shuffle.
So here's the thing, though. The bits where, like, that is not, I don't think this is good for your movie, or this is what he intended. And now, if this is what he intended, then he might be a genius. If this happened by accident, then he's not that big a deal. But the fact that as you're watching it, the most depth and interesting moments and kind of thoughtfulness comes from the interaction between the scientist and a single zombie who doesn't say any dialogue. That says something about your movie. And I don't know whether that, again, I don't know if it was intentional to say, the message I'm trying to tell here as you stare at my giant 400-pound glasses as I talk to you is that man has forgotten its way, and they are more savage than these beasts, and they can't calm down, and steel won't shut up, and a guy with a gun wants everyone to die, and they're all having a fight. But in here, in this room, despite his condition, the zombie is finding the most humanity. Now, if he was trying to say that, okay, then maybe I'm with you there, George. But I don't think he was. I think it was a happy accident that stuff worked out to be kind of interesting. And it's really only all that interesting in contrast to the rest of it.
Right, right.
You know, like, it's good in the face of the rest of what faces us in that movie. Mm-hmm. And there's a moment when he's shambling down that hall with that gun in his hand, trying to still sort of get his motor control and everything. That's kind of freaky, dude. It's kind of freaky and creepy and also and sympathetic. That's a weird thing with Bub.
I would call it like the best thing going with a zombie. If your purpose in a zombie movie is to scare me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've convinced me that he knows how to use the gun. Yeah. That's pretty scary.
I like the suggested backstory that he might have been a cop. You know, that kind of stuff is interesting because you really don't know. But your imagination kind of works. I mean, that's when movies do their best work. And if just for a second there, it was like, yeah. And then, this is real bad otherwise.
You know, later in films, people decided the way to make zombies scary is to make them fast.
Yeah.
And I'm down with it, but there's a point where you're like, okay, if they're all going to move at 20 miles an hour, they may as well move at 120 miles an hour because it's just fast for the sake of being fast. It's not actually like scaring me anymore.
Right.
But man, zombie starts using a gun. Yeah. Whoa, that's crazy.
Right. Yeah. I like that dude made a cameo in The Walking Dead last season.
Oh, yeah. I saw
dressed
that.
Dressed in the same clothes, same bud.
Oh, Bub did?
Bub,
oh, that's
face,
great.
Everything. Same actor. Yeah, they put him in put him in an episode, which is, I guess, an homage. But see, there's another example of, you know, big shot Hollywood going, yeah, we love that movie. We're going to put Bub in our thing. And,
it's connection with Greg Nicotero, who was who's the main special effects guy for The Walking Dead, who is one of the dudes in this.
Oh, he was? Who?
Yeah, he was Private Johnson.
Johnson!
Private
Johnson. The guy whose head on the table was like...
should we talk?
Greg Nicotero was the...
About the cast. We never spoke.
Let's talk about...
There's nobody.
There's nobody in it. We don't know any of these
people. No, no. I mean, he's the only name.
Some of them went on to do other things, but not many.
That's another interesting thing about this movie, though. Like, were they not able to get anybody? Did they not have the money? Is this what they were going for? Because it's still possible to make a film, right?
Yeah.
Where you cast a bunch of people that nobody knows.
Yeah.
I mean, Romero said in some of the documentaries that was what happened. I mean, the budget got cut in half. And why did we get Joseph Pilato? Because Joseph Pilato fit in the $3.5 million budget they had. So that's the reason why you got those guys.
But also, I don't think they skimped on effects. Like, that stuff looked great. All the practical effects. I mean, they were pretty gross, but there were moments of kind of really good, like, shocking effects. Like, the shovel in the face kind of took me aback. I was like, whoa.
That was awesome. I have a shovel in the face.
Yeah.
Very first scene got me. I was hooked in that very first scene. You're looking down a city street. Mm-hmm. The thing that bugged me was the guy yelling the same thing over and over and over. I was like, stop, shut up. Why are you doing that?
But did you get my link that I sent? The Gorillaz music, the song, the M1A1 or whatever it is. And that's what they do. They run that on a loop for like the first 2 minutes of that song. Hello?
That's weird.
Hello?
See, look at all these homages, man. I mean, people clearly hold this movie in some esteem. I mean, if they're doing it in the way you would do Troll 2, then okay, I'm cool with that. Let's make it a goofball, crappy thing that you can all get together and have a good time and throw food at the screen. But if they really like it, I feel like this is going to get us some emails, and that's good. I want the discussion or maybe some comments on the blog, but I want to know what am I missing maybe it's nostalgia. Maybe I should have been 15 and in that theater and going, oh yeah, dude, guts and blood and everything. Maybe that would have changed how I feel about it now, like I did Popeye. I was the only one defending Popeye for that reason. So I just don't have any nostalgia for it. I love zombie movies, though. And I think the 2004 Zack Snyder remake of Dawn of the Dead is great. Mm-hmm. And really fun to watch and has a great ending, by the way. I don't know if anyone's seen that ending, but it's awesome. And you'll never look at Phil Dunphy the way you do with him now. Again, the same. That all came out wrong, but you know what I mean. Anyway, just I want to know what the source of it is. And I tried to kind of, as I was watching it, go, well, all right, it's got cheesy acting. That's something I like and that's fun. But I don't really like it. I mean, I just think it's stupid. But maybe somebody really likes this. And if people are putting it in their songs and referring to it all the time, maybe I'm smoking a crack. I don't know.
I think it's a good get together film. I think watching this with a group of people, like a bunch of zombies on a couch, makes this. I think this movie's just, I don't know. There is something special about, I don't know if it's the pacing or there's something that works for this movie, works for me. Because
I like the cavernous space. So that's one thing I liked. And
you like that?
Yeah, I did. The kind of underground warehouse bunker stuff is just a thing I like generally, not even in movies. I just like it. Like I think the coolest thing in the world would be to carve out a big industrial cave, you know, that you made like Batman's underground one in that Batman movie or the Stargate one in the mountain. Like that kind of stuff I think is so cool. Subterranean things is one of my favorite things.
Right. Hmm. I kept expecting them to use some angles on that more than they did because on one wall, you've got a perfect concrete wall like you would have in a bunker. And then like the other side of the hall would be literally just mountain.
The rough. And, the rough.
And the rough, rock. And they even attached a water fountain to the rock. I'm like, why would you attach it to the rock? Why
wouldn't you? Because it's badass.
Why wouldn't you put it on the good side? Why would you put it over here on the
I always wanted to live in that. So it wasn't even a soundstage. It was shot in a wampum mine, a former limestone mine near Pittsburgh. That was used for an underground storage facility. The 2,500,000 square foot mine is now operated as a gateway commerce center and called the subsurface storage facility.
Oh, so, I'd love to go there. That'd be awesome.
I would be. I love that. Just big, open, huge cement cave. I just think it's so
dress
cool.
Dress up as a zombie and just shamble the halls. It would be
shamble
awesome.
The halls.
Shamble the halls. Remember that? Terrible Hall & Oates album. Hey, listen to this. So do we have an opinion around the table about zombie, the genre itself? And do we like it? Are we tired of it? Do we like it in our video games, our movies? Like where's everybody at with stuff like this? Because I like it.
What choice do we have at this point? I thought this genre would be over by now. To be honest with you, I thought this
that saturation would move on or something. Yeah.
Saturation point would hit, but it hasn't. Same with superhero movies. I'm like, aren't we done with superhero movies?
No, apparently. We're not done. We got plenty more to go. I actually think zombies are here to stay for a while. But yes, Randy.
Yeah, I think we're right in the middle of the mix zombies with the different things theme,
right.
And it's going to go on for a while. Like I would have told you right after Shaun of the Dead came out. All right, they just killed zombie movies for a decade. But no, they actually rose in interest in zombie movies, and we're getting to see zombies in near tomorrow post-apocalyptic, way out in the future post-apocalyptic, zombies in the past movies,
comedy,
zombies in your romance. Zombies in your,
your rom-coms, yes,
yeah, zombies in your superhero movies. Not only are superhero movies here to stay, but zombies are getting in those too. It's
which is great. I would love to see that. Well, remember when there was like X-Men were zombies?
You mean like the Marvel
the book?
Zombies? Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but I'm trying to think of an example of ones that are out now. Do we know stuff's coming like that? Like we're not getting the next Avengers dealing with some space zombies or anything. I hope
that would be awesome.
God, I hope not. But the thing is, it's still not a deep genre. It can't be. It's about this one thing, right?
Mm-hmm. But and yet, so every city in the country has a place where you can go do a zombie walk. At least once or twice a year near you.
Yeah,
you probably can find a zombie walk.
I think it's TV where you need to pay attention anyway, because Walking Dead aside, which is huge and a giant cultural thing,
right?
I think there's more coming, even from them. They got a spinoff series that's got nothing to do with the comics coming, and I think that's next year. I think that's where you'll see these stories play out. The real question is, when will the mainstream start to sort of ebb? And they always do. This is always cyclical, right? Like, right. I feel like I'm waiting for vampire movies to move out of the teen space and get back where it belongs, in the vicious freaking Blade space, you know?
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I don't want no more sparkly zombies telling each other how much they love each other. I want people gutting each other and, you know, going crazy and stuff. I want Blade 2 again.
So you're saying you don't mean zombies, you mean vampires.
Yeah, what I say. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Is like these different genres that come and they go. You know, I really don't think we're going to have a resurgence of a Wolfman thing. That will always be ancillary to some other story.
It'll be thrown in to your zombie and your like the Laika. What are the
Laikas and the vampires in Underworld? Was it
Underworld? That's what it was. Yeah.
But see, Underworld. I had hoped Underworld was going to start a new trend. I thought, oh sweet, this is good. This is like, I don't know. This is the way I want my vampires. And those sequels are terrible. They're god awful. They are as bad as Matrix sequels, and that says a lot, dude.
Ooh, wow, harsh words.
I'm telling you,
first one's fun though. It's good
cursed.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, my point is that we haven't even come full circle on the whole let's reset what we do with vampires yet. And with heroes, we're sort of in the thick of it. And I feel like sci-fi is about to take a big center stage with Star Wars sort of leading that front in movies. I don't know where zombies go. I mean, they're so pervasive in video games and other culture and media that it feels like they've got more staying power now than ever. And there are people who want to rail against it and hate it, but I'm kind of enjoying it. I don't mind. It's fine.
I don't mind at all. I think it's working out fine. Like, if you asked me a couple of years ago, I probably would have said I'm done with zombies. And even remember when Red Dead Redemption came out and they did the zombie pack? I was like, mother. Right. I was like, I'm done. That's it. No more zombies.
You were crazy. That was awesome DLC. It was really
fun. It was still stupid. It ruined my story.
It was one off. It was. Well, I can't want to give anything away because I still. That's.
Oh yeah. I know it's 2010. That game.
I know it was 2010. It was later. A long time ago, but it was so good that I don't want to blow that ending. It's one of the best endings in video game history. But the point is, the genre has legs, shambling legs, and it will keep growing. And I don't suspect people will say they're tired of whatever, but. We're going to see more zombies in space. We're going to see them mashed in with other things. Like Randy says, we're in the middle of the, let's combine it with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I still,
let's see what it tastes good with. Peanut butter. Yes.
Yeah, kind of.
Raspberry. Ooh, no.
Yeah. Hey guys, let me butt in here real quick, real brief, real fast to talk about our friends at audible.com. I love Audible. It's a great service. I listen to books every month on it. And, I've never been dissatisfied. I like them all. I'm kind of all over the place in terms of genre and stuff. And I usually recommend like fantasy books here, but I'm going to recommend today a book that really affected me, a book called Born Standing Up, A Comic's Life by Steve Martin, also narrated by Steve Martin, of which I have proof.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents Born Standing Up.
And it doesn't have his voice, sadly, but that clip on the site is there. I really like it. It just talks about where he came from, what he did in his early comedy, what he does now. A lot of real personal stories. Really, really, really good. So, and that's him on the banjo, by the way. He's an incredible banjo player. You can get that book or just about really any other book. There are many others by Steve Martin, even that he's both written and read. Like Shop Girl, it's based on the movie. Read by Steve Martin. Narrated by Steve Martin. Written by Steve Martin. What? That's crazy. Or how about The Pleasure of My Company by Steve Martin. Narrated by Steve Martin. Anyway, these and all other books at your disposal. Get a free one now by going to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. George Romero says it's his favorite film of all the original Dead movies. So he says it's his favorite.
This one is.
Yeah, that's what he says. In the DVD special edition director's cut, he does a little commentary and says it's his favorite of the three. Now, I'd be willing to bet if you sat George Romero down, gave him a big pair of glasses and watched all three movies, he might forget what he said in the other two and say it all three times. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know him. I don't know the guy. I don't hang out with him.
No, he's a filmmaker, so he may have an affection for this movie because he had no – this was the one he made a deal with because he was like, okay, I kind of had my own thing to do when I first started out, and it was probably very difficult. And then the second one, The Dawn of the Dead, he had a little bit – more control, but he was probably still, the producers were probably on top of him. Whereas Day of the Dead, he set it out and he said, okay, I'm gonna give you three more movies, but I'm you have no deadline date on Day of the Dead for me. Mm. I will get it done when I get it done. And to a filmmaker, to me, it seems like having, no name actors, just, with no attitude, and having all the time in the world to make a movie, that seems like that would produce, a great time for a director. Well,
and that's why you can't take filmmakers' opinions too seriously about their own movies, because the quality of the film is mixed up with the quality of the good time they had making it.
Yeah, the production probably has a greater weight in their mind.
Or just the fact that it was his experiment. He feels like it was successful.
Yeah.
That would make it a favorite too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they nipped it in the bud.
That's it. You're out of here.
So, Ebbett, what do you think of the music, dude? It's pretty awesome.
Woo. Oh yeah, they put that Casio to work for this one. It's funny, I was looking at the because I wanted to find out who did the music. The Jordan person Brent. Who's credited is a guy named John Harrison, but one of the uncredited guys associated with it is a guy named Sputzy Sparacino.
Oh yeah, Sputzy.
which you can get a grande size at the the local Starbucks.
Nice. Yeah, it was really bad. It was real bad.
Very distracting.
Inappropriate. Didn't feel like it matched at all.
The only time I really liked it is when it covered up the bad acting.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. And it was loud and annoying, and I just felt like I was watching, I don't know, like a chase scene in like Chips.
Right.
When it was supposed to be like serious, horrible zombie music, it was like Poncherelli is chasing a guy over a wall.
And the angry acting was so pervasive that when they stopped angry acting for a moment, it felt weird.
Yep.
Yeah. I felt uncomfortable.
Why aren't you guys yelling?
Yeah. What's wrong, Steele, whose name I thought was Steve for most of the movie? I thought it was Steve.
You thought it was Steve? That's weird.
I did, but his name was Steele, of course. Steele. Steve wouldn't have been.
Private Steele.
Would have been too normal to call him Steve. Good heavens.
Yeah. He was the bad A, though, right? He was the bad A in this movie. But my favorite was Chuckles. What was his name?
Chuckles.
The guy who laughed at everything, even when they were taking him down.
That guy. Right. He had 15 zombies on him, and he just laughed himself to death.
You tickle.
You know, some other good effects were those throat has been ripped out effects.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't. The only problem I had with them is the actors didn't act like what that would really be, man. Like, if you had that out, you wouldn't be sitting there panting going, I don't think I'm going to make it. No, dude, you should be gargling blood right now and not making any sounds except gurk sounds, and you'd have been dead 5 minutes ago. What are you even talking for over there?
Oh,
but
man,
that stuff looked real good, you know?
Yeah, those drawn and quartered kind of scenes were awesome, and people pulling away from their head and still screaming and making faces.
It looked good. It looked good. The fingers didn't look so good.
Well, and everybody's skin all of a sudden turns into real cheap foam rubber. Like, you can just pierce with a fingernail. It's like,
Yeah. But I mean, all that said, those are the bits I liked. And his makeup on Bub was good. Most of the other zombies were kind of half-aid. They didn't really do the walk right. Like, there was a lot of just
Gosh. Was there not a serious gang theme going on with the zombies?
Oh, the theme gangs? Yeah.
Yeah.
Had a bag and a dog in it, of a dog.
I started a list. I don't know if you guys can feel any from me here.
Yes, please.
I started doing a list too. There was wedding dress zombie,
Clown zombie, football zombie, cheerleader zombie. They must have came together. Soldier zombie, golfer zombie, prom zombie.
All of the village people.
Yeah,
all of the village people. Dude with the Indian feathers and everything. He was there. Final shirt guy, which was plenty of those. But lunch lady zombie. That one made me laugh.
There was a lunch lady zombie. I missed that.
Yep. There was a lunch lady zombie. Sporty tennis zombie, the Mac row. Yes. He had his
still
little head.
Carrying the racket too.
Yeah,
loved him. A motorcycle punk zombie from the '70s.
Yeah,
Easy Rider, that kind of stuff. Yeah. But yeah, it would. That's
an Easy Rider zombie. Is what you're saying?
There was.
Zombie alligator.
Yeah.
Zombie. Oh, yeah, that actually is funny. The alligators. There's only one in the opening scene, but I read the script. Shut up. And so in the original script, there was a whole bunch of
army of zombie alligators.
Well, no, they weren't zombies. They were just everywhere because the city had been overrun. And this was Florida.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be establishing this was Florida. So you had the gators.
So they're scavenging and whatever.
Right.
It went too fast.
So,
I don't know if you noticed. I don't know if you caught and named bride and groom zombie. And there may have actually been a groomsman zombie in addition.
Yeah. I had tuxedo zombie. He might have been part of that.
Yeah, there's a bride zombie nearby.
Yeah.
Right.
So unless the zombie thing happens instantaneously. Right. That means all of these people, the clown got up that day and said, well, I know that parts of Florida are overrun with zombies, but there's still kids out there I've got to entertain. I'm putting this rubber nose on.
Get my balloons, quick.
Tennis guy says, you know, well, I know there's zombies out there, but I really got to play tennis.
Got to play some tennis. 20 love.
The wedding's still on, folks.
Yeah, the wedding's still. I know everyone's dying. Yeah, that, see, a lot. That's what I mean. It's lazy. This stuff is lazy.
No, it wasn't super lazy because you got to remember, and I don't know if you're going to come up with this, the trivia later, but basically they were paying people $1 a day in Pennsylvania to just dress up
this is
as
true.
Zombies
yeah, this is
and
true.
Come out. So it's probably like. It's probably like they just got back from Let's Make a Deal, and they decided just to wear whatever they were wearing and went on with the zombie stuff.
Hey, so, tennis player.
Me, Monty Hall.
Okay, so loving all of that, and we did. I think we all universally enjoyed that.
It wasn't this is that, Film Sack, after all, so yeah.
It wasn't that good, and I've been wondering why. I keep thinking, why is it that I see these zombies in this movie, and I'm like, okay, is it that they just don't look as good as zombies do nowadays? Because that's not fair. This movie was made 30 years ago, right? So we should expect them to not look as good. But how hard is it to make a zombie? Like a zombie is a great character to make, right? You've got to have the most fun making a zombie because you can't go wrong. Mm-hmm. You just make them more and more dark and swarthy and falling apart. And there was one zombie in this. Early on, one of the very first shots is the jaw missing zombie with the tongue.
Yeah.
How'd they do that 30 years ago?
Yeah, that looked really impressive. But then right after that, they showed a lady who looks like she ate her hot dog too fast. And
She's just messy.
Yeah.
She's not a zombie.
She was like, exactly. She's like the lady in Airplane 2 couldn't get her makeup on in the bathroom.
Just sloppy.
My point exactly. And it just, I just don't get, I guess. Every zombie movie, they want to have as many as they can. Like, they want to fill the world with zombies. Right. Like, the shot outside the wall of Jerusalem in World War Z, right? With all the teeming zombies. Hordes of zombies. But I would rather see two really awesome zombies going down a hallway than two dozen that aren't made up very well.
I agree. It's the aliens problem, right? That when you get to the multitude, you better do that right or else it feels wrong. And I feel like Walking Dead does it pretty good. I really liked how it felt in World War Z, even though at some point it felt a little CGI'd. But the point is that if you want to have swarms of zombies, which is kind of part of the whole, you know, problem, they're slow moving. If there were one or two, you could just kill them. But when there are hundreds or thousands, you're in real trouble. So I think it's a fine line. I just don't think he walked it very well.
He shambled all over that thing.
Yeah, he shambled on it. Took a big sham on it.
I feel like every zombie movie needs to teach me something about zombies.
Yeah.
Like World War Z taught me that they sound like velociraptors.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like.
Don't know why.
I kind of like that.
But this movie, not really. Like, I realize, again, 30 years old, but I was looking for the thing that I was going to take away from the movie and go, oh, wow, yeah, zombies do have, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what they have.
They don't have anything.
Bub was by far.
They have a gun.
Heads and Bub. Yeah, Bub was the best.
They have a gun and a Walkman. And that's what zombies have.
Have you noticed that zombies have good hearing in most movies?
Oh, man. This one, they were. Yeah.
How does an ear work if you don't have a cardiovascular system?
I don't know.
Why? Are you these really questioning?
These are all questions. Yes. These are all questions no zombie film has answered properly. It'd be fun. You know what? Nobody ever makes, like, Walking Dead has even come out and overtly said, we're never going to explain any of this. So just enjoy yourselves.
Well, because they can't. I mean, you know, how... What's supplying blood to their muscles? What's, you know,
right. What's doing anything to make them move?
And what is it about removing the head from the rest of the body that kills them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why the brain? Right. Why?
And why does if you decapitate them, why do some of their heads still talk and some don't? You know, there's so many, you can't even,
and
there's no,
and why do they want to eat the living? There's what's compelling them.
They
to
actually
eat the living?
Answered that one in this one.
What is it?
Really?
Yeah. He said, Joe Blow,
scientist guy with a really bad hair on the left.
Really bad hair, huge eyes, and man, that dude. Wait,
Dr. Frankenstein, they call him. Yeah,
right. The way he made speeches was getting on my nerves. But yeah, he said that the reason why they ate was not because they were hungry. It was just an instinct. It was a reward center. Just like when we eat, where our brain produces, you know, chemicals that say rewarded, good job. So that's what they do. Everything is a reward situation, even though they can't digest the food, and which really freaked me out because I was thinking, oh my gosh, and if that's the case, then they've just got a bunch of dead bodies in their belly. Shouldn't they be like huge swollen bellies and stuff, because they can't poop it out, right?
Right. Well, I don't know. See, this is why I'm arguing for a movie. Somebody make a movie. It can be a comedy even. But let's have a movie where they actually dig into all these questions. Let's have a zombie movie where we try to figure out how they work and why they work, and give me some funny twists and some weird ideas. And I would watch. That'd be something I'd watch.
You'd watch that? You'd watch a documentary on how zombies really work?
Yeah. Like a fake documentary, like a mockumentary. It'd be wonderful. If you do it right. When those are done right, those are great.
I bet you that's out there somewhere. I bet you we'll get an email with that.
When those are done right, though, I'm guessing if it's done right, we would have heard about it by now. It would have been something we would have already enjoyed if it was any good.
Let's see. Zombie Apocalypse on the documentary.
Because the other day I tried to watch one about possession. It's fake, but it's called The Devil Inside a couple years ago. What a pile of garbage it was. It was not good. It was real bad. But I'm a sucker for it. I'm a sucker for the found footage fake documentary thing. If it's good, it's so rarely good that, you know.
I'm trying to think of. Like, they all have such potential, you know, like Paranormal Activity. You see the trailer and like, wow, this could be really good. Probably, and then you watch the movie and it's not.
Probably Blair Witch did it the best. And I think it had problems too. But if I had to pick one.
And the found footage thing.
Probably that. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like it broke some ground there, but who knows?
Not for me. Man, I
think
like
the marketing was just brilliant on that movie. Yeah. I mean, the movie itself, when you go back and watch it, is
maybe that's what I responded to. I don't know.
And it ruined that way of marketing a film too. Now,
right.
If you want to make a found footage film and it's going to actually market that way, you've got to go bury it in a tin can.
You're right.
And then clue some stranger into finding it 15 years later.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
That's a good idea. Let's do that now.
I still am bothered by her talking to the camera that one night with her booger in her nose that she would never wipe off. That always bugged
me. Booger in her nose?
I couldn't deal with it, dude. I'm in a movie theater and there's this giant screen with this giant nose with a huge booger hanging. It was awful.
I couldn't stand the breathing. The breathing into the, that was driving me nuts. I'm like, stop breathing on the camera.
Steel reminded me of John Goodman for some reason.
He did. I totally felt that from Kingpin, especially. Was that a movie he was in?
Is what I was comparing.
Was that really? Oh my gosh!
I was thinking of Raising Arizona when he's coming to get high.
All of those. That period of John Goodman. Absolutely.
The more physical period of John Goodman. The less I look like a judge or a politician. John Goodman.
Right. Yeah. Not so much King Ralph as.
I like King Ralph.
Right, Raising Arizona.
I know I'm not supposed to, but there's something about that movie for me.
Yeah, it's great.
It's not good. It isn't good, but King Ralph,
That's a good movie. Any movie that starts off by killing the entire royal family in a photographic accident.
That's right. That's a great.
I'm down with that.
Great opener. Anyway, it's not. Listen, I want the world to understand. I'm not saying King Ralph is a good movie, okay? I'm just saying it's a guilty pleasure I can enjoy if I'm in front of a TV and it's on.
Right? I just bought my mom a movie pack from, it was like at Walgreens, and I was going through the little bin there. And my mom has a DVD changer, and she didn't have any movies, and I felt bad for her. So I went and King Ralph was in with seriously 9 other movies in this 4-disc set.
Wow.
Of absolute crapness, and it was $6.
You gotta buy it for that.
And I was like, I gotta get
it. You gotta get it. Yeah.
And me and my mom sat down just about 2 months ago and watched King Ralph.
That's great, dude.
Yeah.
King Ralph, nothing wrong with it.
Mushgrove.
Oh, sorry, I meant to play this. The military hates eggheads. That's a trope for you.
Oh man,
yeah.
They just hate them. Doesn't matter what your movie is.
Smart. It's too smart. Too smart. We have guns, bro.
I'm tired of you, Smarty. What are you Smarties even doing in here?
And they're such spazzes. Like they're just the military. What was going on there? What was in the water?
Who ever survive the apocalypse from the military are the ones who are the most like Spicoli.
Yeah.
Like
right.
They're just dumb and angry. Spicoli wasn't a good enough example.
No.
They're just dumb and angry, and they think they're smarter than they are by a lot.
Yeah.
And they use their guns.
Yeah. Joseph Pilato, to be specific, head of the group there, the military group with his mullet. He's considered, like, people look at him the way they do Jeffrey Combs or some of these early schlock actor guys that really were just kind of one-note actors. And he still ends up in, like, stuff today, like, you know, schlocky horror movies or send-ups of old horror movies. Like, people call that guy. They want him in.
He's typecast, though, right? I mean, it's a situation you almost don't want to be in.
Yeah, I don't want to be that.
I don't know, man, if you could have a career like this.
What? What?
He gets invited to all the cons, dude, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Dude has acted every year. If you go through his little IMDb, he has acted every single year, except for like a short span between 2004 and 2006. He wasn't doing anything. He was preparing for the ghouls.
Yeah. It takes 19 of his movies to equal one of somebody else's. So you earn that kind of cash. Right. How about this one? I like this one. Those guys will not take off those lab coats. It doesn't matter. We're going to be professional here. We're going to put on our lab coats.
That's a really good point. Like, what are they worried about? You know?
Yeah. Like, there's no protocol. There's nobody in charge. Just wear your clothes.
Take this off, I won't be able to turn into a zombie with a lab coat. I can't have that.
Then you'd be a theme zombie. No,
they won't know what kind of zombie I am.
Yeah. I kind of like theme zombies now, though, this concept. I think there should be more.
Right.
Walking Dead, they should walk into a farm. Everybody should be like a farmer zombie.
Sure.
Right. Pitchfork, right?
Yeah. Suspenders. And you never see, or at least it doesn't feel like you ever see the most common looks. You see all these real strange, like really, how many weddings are going on around you right now, right? Like, how many construction workers are there who are wearing hard hats that are going to get zombified right this minute? Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you just don't see kids in clothes like they wear to the mall.
Nope.
Like, half of the zombies should be teenagers in mall clothes.
Yeah, they were all prop clothes. Now that you mention it, hardly anybody looked like a normal dude or lady.
Right.
And I don't understand the thinking there. That to me does not say, I'm the grandfather of zombies. That to me says, I don't think of these things ahead of time, and I'm just like, whatever, wear whatever you want. Pull it out of the trunk. I don't know. It just seems dumb to me. Anyway, let's do clips. Should we do clips?
Clips? My gosh, if you didn't get a bunch of great clips in this movie, I don't know what you were
yeah,
watching.
Yeah, you have my permission to hate my guts if I don't have the one you like, because there's some
great
in here.
That was a lot.
Here's the crappy accent that we all know and love. Well, we don't love it, but it's in there, so here it is.
Sit down, John.
I'll set us down, but I won't leave my seat, and I'll keep the engine running. Now, the first sign of trouble, I'm going up. If you ain't on board when that happens, let you have a lousy afternoon.
And that's how Left 4 Dead 2 began.
I'm Hermes Conrad.
Yeah, totally Hermes, dude. The guy's from Detroit. He's got no real accent. It was dope.
Yeah, his accent actually failed him in the last like five words.
Yeah, it kept breaking up. It broke down real bad when he started to kind of turn to be nice guy. He started not to be Jamaican anymore. Here's some crappy yelling early on. Here you go.
Hello! Hello!
Hurry up, Ponch and John.
You could just play that another 17 times and you would be infringing on the movie.
I know. I would be duplicating too much of what we saw. It's so dumb. How's anyone going to respond to that if they were alive? That was was that Miguel?
That was Miguel.
Shove him out of the helicopter on the way back.
And he didn't. Useless. He doesn't know how to say yellow, apparently, according to Steele. Says he says jello.
Yeah, jello. That's right. Yeah. How about more great accents?
What's going to bring them tomorrow, sir? And the next day after that?
After that.
There are hundreds of them out there. Thousands. A million of them. You stick your head in the sand, they're going to come up behind you and bite off your ass.
This reminds me, I want to roll a troll hunter someday.
You know what's funny is now that I'm not watching the film and I'm just listening especially to the background music while he's talking, I'm thinking, this could have been an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Yeah, it could have been. I don't know. Some of that music, though, it's like Magnum P.I. is somewhere. He's coming. I can tell. Mm-hmm. Magnum is somewhere. All right, here's a screaming.
Have to have TJ flying helicopters.
That's right. TJ Maxx? No, TJ Hooker. That's the one I was going to say. Screaming dude. Here you go. Right here. Goodness gracious. Wow.
There were so many screams.
There was a lot. Here's Steve talking about his wiener, his man wiener. Here you go.
Biggest piece of meat in the game.
Biggest piece of meat in the game.
So okay, I guess that's from the first time that they start just railing on this poor lady.
Yeah.
Because she's sharing a room with the wussy guy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he is...
They're all in seventh grade, man. All of them.
No one would look at this guy who is a total pansy.
Yeah.
no one would look at him and think, oh, he's nailing her.
Right.
No one.
Right.
Well,
but
so
they implied
I don't know. Okay.
Maybe he was.
But outside of that viewpoint of it all, it's just everybody was behaving like they're in eighth grade.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like just like the way that they were being about racial differences and about women and about anything that wasn't big, beefy steel man was right. Seventh grade, eighth grade. I understand the military might, you know, they get a little rough, they get a little crude. The Marines, you know, they're tough, man. They're front line. They're tip of the spear. I get it. But you're not this big of a douche. You're not eighth grade douche.
Well, to George Romero, they are. And that's okay. I lay it squarely at his feet. These guys could have been angry and frustrated, and they wouldn't have to have been so mean and shameful.
Yeah, and just gross. Well,
right. And that was kind of – I tried to justify this movie, okay? I tried. I really did.
Yeah.
And but, yeah, one of the reasons why – that's one of the things that the professor was talking about and with Marianne.
Yeah.
And he was talking with the coconut radio. But they were he was talking about when civility breaks down, yeah. You know, are we any better than the zombies? And that's basically what he was saying. You know, the zombies are outside angry and with no civilization. Civilization is breaking down at its basic
they
core.
They just hammered it in too hard.
Communication.
Too cartoony. Like I can't buy that steel guy as being anything more than a really bad, crude cartoon of what they were trying to say about, you know, man's propensity right. toward evil or something. It just wasn't that evil. It was just obnoxious school kid, bully exactly. stuff.
Like, I don't want to excite the lady, though.
Yeah, with his big...
I don't want to
yeah.
excite the lady, though.
With his biggest,
you know,
piece of meat in the cave.
Because, you know, them guys, them throwback men got all big honky thingies.
Honky thingies? I don't know where what? That's going, but...
they were getting weird talking about throwback guys. That was a weird... Was that ever a thing?
What,
did we ever call
what's
all
a throwback guys?
That's what they said. Heard. They said, you know, all throwback guys have big penises or something like that. They didn't say penises, but they are really big.
I don't I guess, remember like, that.
They were referring to, like, cavemen and were, like...
Throwback guys?
It was a weird term.
I don't
matter of fact, there was a lot of invented terms in this movie that made me go, what are you talking about? Yeah. That like, think that in the Caesar salad? What was that all about?
Well, that I don't doubt. I'm sure there were many things that made no sense. The Caesar salad thing? I don't remember that at all. What was it?
You don't remember Caesar salad? It was like, don't be trying to give me a mouthful of Caesar salad. I'm sorry, you didn't grab that one?
No.
There was way too many potential quotes to grab
there
out of
really
this.
There really were, yeah.
There was. It was a lot of work.
I got Steele laughing like an idiot. Here's this.
Oh,
oh gosh. Was that Steele or the Laughing Buddy? I don't remember.
Laughing Buddy and
Laughing Buddy for
okay.
sure.
All right.
Yeah, Laughing Buddy was laughing.
It's a Hanna-Barbera character. I just can't remember which one.
who is that?
It's not. Crap. It's not Snidely.
Not Snidely Whiplash.
No.
Not Snidely. It's a.
It's not the dog. His partner dog
Muttley.
Either.
Muttley.
Is that Muttley?
Is it Muttley? Yeah.
Muttley no, Muttley was just.
Yeah, that's the one. But who was the other one?
There was somebody who did like a.
Yeah.
It's Tigger. Tigger. That's who it is.
Is it Tigger?
It's Tigger.
Oh, all right. Wrong studio.
Oh wow, we're doing all of our best impressions.
It's pretty
right
good.
Now, aren't we? A mouthful of Greek salad was the actual term. I think. Don't be giving me a mouthful of Greek salad.
What does that mean?
What's that mean? I don't know. It's just a series of and then he told him, I'm running the monkey farm now, Frankenstein. He said that too. And I was like, why are you getting these from?
Don't use up for something that might be in my Twitter post.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, shut up.
I thought we were just playing clips.
All right, here's another clip.
I don't need your help or anyone else's.
Oh, Miguel. Oh, he's going down quick, dude. Going down hard.
And as soon as you hear that, you know, okay, well, he's dead. It's just a matter of time. You don't think that he's going to try and take everyone out with him.
No.
But, you know, he's not long for this world.
Well, then there's this guy right here.
I'm not even sure just what the hell it is you're doing in there.
What are you doing in there?
Yeah, crazy scientist guy.
Yeah. Miguel's in bad shape. Is this clip?
Miguel Salazar's in bad shape.
No shit.
That guy, dude.
Oh, I hate him so much.
I know. I really, yeah. What is there to like? Nothing. Explain how they work, all right?
See, it wants me. It wants food, but it has no stomach. It can take no nourishment from what it ingests. It's working on instinct.
So that's what you're saying, Brian? It's all instinct.
Yeah. It's all instinct. Hmm. Reward center of the brain is what he said.
Okay. So they're not really, they're not deriving sustenance. It's just purely, but it doesn't make sense because you can't have reward centers in your brain without sustenance. You know,
right,
I mean,
right.
I'm no brain surgeon or expert, but
I know.
Are you
trying to explain zombies again?
I know. I got to stop doing that. All right, bang, you're dead.
Bang, you're dead.
I like that one.
You're dead.
Best angry acting maybe ever in the history of this show.
Yikes.
Okay, big one here. So you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think this might be it. This makes
big
the
talk,
cake.
Johnson.
I know. Here you go. Right here.
Is there food? I'm running this monkey farm now, Frankenstein, and I want to know what the f*** you're doing with my time.
See?
Yeah.
There
that's
is.
Pretty good. Yeah. I dare you to find me. I mean, there's others. I can't think of one more angry than that.
That's the angriest acting
we've ever had
on this show for sure.
Yeah, I think that's pretty close.
Hold, sinners!
That's not angry.
That's not acting either.
All right, here's some more.
What the hell are you talking about, Frankenstein?
I like that one. This is what girl. Oh, I found a clip. This is what girls used to call Ibbot in high school. I always like to do these. At Arvada High, is that where you went? Where'd you go?
I went to Arvada High School.
All right. At Arvada High, all the girls would say this about Ibbot in the 80s. Here you go.
Something called beef treats.
Something called beef treats. Wow. You'd have to explain that to us sometime. Tell us the story.
Some other time I'll tell you about that.
Okay. Right. Nerdtacular. I'll weasel it
out.
Write
that one down, Daniel.
Why this music? Here's some bad, bad music. Here you go. Ready? What is that?
Yeah, I totally remember that. And I remember thinking, what the heck is that song?
You can just see the guy on the Casio holding that one finger long, shaking it, trying to get that last note out of there.
Vibrato.
The music's awful. It's more than just 80s bad. It's just really terrible. Bad ideas, bad match, bad everything.
One of the old tricks for scoring a film cheaply is you get somebody to change up but perform a classic, you know, something that was written 300 years ago, so you don't have to worry at all about the rights to perform it.
Yeah,
right.
And so I always like strain, like, what is that? Is that like Beethoven only done on a keyboard, you know, funny and really, really slow or whatever? But that one just, I'm stumped.
It's bad.
It's just bad.
This has been good. What we're going to use for the TV show.
Yeah, I know. Speaking of that, here's some 80s bullets for you. So this is total 80s bullets. I think that's when he shot the grandpa.
There was some Foley work that was definitely out of the 80s TV.
Like, I mean, the professor had ricocheting bullets on his chest. What was that about? Right. Way to go, guys. Racist. Ooh, here's a racist remark. Okay. Oh, yes. There were a lot of them, but I don't think you say this anymore. So here it is. Right here.
I'll kill the rest of them one at a time unless you get your black ass out here, flyboy.
No one says that anymore on shows.
No.
Or movies. Well, do that.
It's a shame, too.
What?
It's
just... What, Randy? What?
I don't know. It's like, why didn't they at least try to make it funny?
Yeah,
I laughed.
but like, you're laughing from the vantage point of it's 2014.
Right.
Like, I've never been in a major movie, and I, as an actor, would have tried to make that funnier.
Yeah,
I would have desperately tried. Beg, please, give me three takes of some ad lib here. Anything.
There was no three takes in this movie, Randy.
All one take. I'll bet you.
Oh, especially the zombies. Like, once they got them moving, there were so many spots where I was noticing, you know, some of the zombies were glancing at the camera, glancing at the director. Yes.
Yeah.
That's not
only retake they had was when they had that opening scene with all the zombies busting through the concrete wall during the girl's dream.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they fell on her.
They did?
The whole wall fell on her.
Oh, it did? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oops.
Oh. I mean, it's like this wall with a bunch of little chunks of it where they can stick their arm through and have like a breakaway section. And apparently as they're pushing through, they push the whole wall down.
The only movie I ever liked that started with a dream was Star Trek First Contact, when Picard looked in the mirror and the little Borg thing came out of his eyeball.
Mm.
That was kind of cool.
That must have been the only movie that didn't begin with a holodeck.
Yeah, probably, actually. You're not wrong. Let me think about that.
Yeah.
You're totally right.
A pirate ship. Oh, yeah. Look at this.
Or a Spock pinching a horse neck or something. What was
it? Yeah. Well, they didn't open with that, but they should have. And that piece of garbage. All right. Here's two more. I don't know what this is.
We need his ass.
No, that's freaking...
Is that referring to the same...
We need his ass.
He was telling him to get his ass out.
It's all one word. Listen to it. We need his ass. Like, it's all one word. Listen.
We need his ass.
We need his ass.
We need his ass. All right, here's Bub, and he's sad. There you go.
Oh, let me listen to the Walkman support, please.
Almost made me care, but man, it just didn't quite get there.
Yeah.
It just didn't quite have a reason for me to care. And I guess it was because everybody was so frustrated in the movie and mad at each other and angry that I couldn't find the humanity.
Yeah.
And if you can't find the humanity in the actual humans, you're not going to find it in the undead.
Mm.
It just didn't, I don't know, if they had had anyone else ever be sad in the movie, I might have found it with this guy.
No one ever was.
Nope. Miguel was super sad.
Hey, at the end of
the whole damn time.
At the end of World War Z, they don't have the zombies get better, do they?
No.
Okay.
They have the zombies get destroyed.
Okay, that's what it is. They found that way to do it. So the reason I asked that, because I remembered a movie that I saw last year where the zombies were saved, and now I remember it was not that, it was that rom-com one with the kid in it who plays Beast in the X-Men movies. His name. Anyway, that thing.
You might remember there's a tremendous visual effect at the end of World War Z where there's these people with these two massive flamethrowers on the top of a building.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
The news footage thing.
If you've seen the movie, just load it up on Netflix and go watch the very, very end.
I like that movie a lot.
I got the Blu-ray.
I enjoyed it. I think it was a lot of fun. I was surprised. I read the book and thought it was great, and I thought this movie was going to suck, you know, because you worry as a nerd. Like, oh, they're going to ruin it. But it was all right. It wasn't, I feel like it, I don't even call it a World War Z movie. I call this a movie that took place in that same universe, because it really was. They didn't do any of the documentary style interviews. It wasn't like a retroactive, let's look back at 10 years ago when the zombie war happened, like the book does. This was just straight up a story within that milieu, and I was fine with that.
I don't think it's that good a movie.
That's fun.
It's watchable, but it's like I talked about White House Down is watchable. I don't think it's a good movie, but it's watchable. World War Z. Can I give you my complaint about World War Z?
Yeah, go.
Yeah, do it.
It's a movie where Israel was smart enough to figure out what was going on before anybody else. They were smart enough to be well defended because they learned the lessons of 100 years of war.
Right.
And then the day Brad Pitt shows up, all of their prowess just goes to shit. It's so strange to me.
Yeah. Totally believable. No. I'm on board.
They made one mistake over the wall, done, out.
That's it. Yeah. Israel is destroyed, man. Brad Pitt had just stayed out of Israel.
Let the wrong person in.
Yeah. That makes sense to me. You're right. It's still fun to watch. That movie's fun.
I would watch it again, whereas I would not watch the White House Down thing again.
Well, let's the final verdict then before we get on to the Twitter posts and all this stuff, checklist and whatnot. I want to say here's our grade to George Romero. Here it is.
You owe me an apology.
All right, good.
You owe me an apology, Commander.
Let's do that checklist. Down. Oh, goodness. Let's see here. The film sack checklist goes as follows. Bad accent for no reason. Check. Got it. Zombie. Why just be a dude? You don't have to have an accent. You don't have to be Jamaican. Just be a dude. You add that what? Added no, nothing to this.
You need to have that variety. You need to have the ex-football player, the whiny dude, the businessman.
I think they didn't need it.
The trailer trash.
If only he'd spoken like Brian Ibbett was just speaking as an announcer, that would have been great.
That would be.
But the other dude,
I fly the whirly bird.
The other guy was like Australian or something. That was enough.
Right.
Or British or something. Let him be the weird one. Whatever. I think they could have dropped that.
His accent was over the top. I wonder if he came in and just said, this movie bores me. I'm going to do something interesting.
I'm just glad none of them were a redneck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
The military guys were all
rednecks.
Yeah,
they were pretty rednecky.
Good old boys.
Yeah, which is another stereotype. Zombie, partially infected zombie arm removal. Check. That's in all zombie movies. So good job. And finally, scientific progress, but only at the cost of our own humanity. Check.
Yeah.
Let's move toward Trek connections. There are actually a few here. Sherman Howard, he played Bub, so the actor there. He was on TNG, played Endar in the episode Suddenly Human, and on DS9 played the Vulcan Savar in the episode Shakar. Do you remember this, Brian? Because you just finished watching DS9.
I do not. Yeah, I saw that when Daryl posted. I don't remember who Shakar was.
I bet we could look him up. Jim O'Rear was attacking zombie. He performed stunts in Star Trek for The Voyage Home. Barbara Anderson was costume designer, did a bunch of TOS stuff. And let's see, Al Maglocetti was a bathrobe zombie.
It's a bathrobe zombie.
I got killed in the bathroom. I had time to put on my robe.
Decided to still take a bath.
Yeah. He was in Star Trek VI. He was animations effects dude, supervisor guy. So, for whatever reason, that wasn't an acting gig. Soundtrack grade, I'll give it a TI for totally inappropriate. It was garbage in that way. Let's get to our Twitter post. This is 140 character, 40? 40 characters or less.
140.
Let's start with Randy.
Day of the Dead. A big group of people take shelter in a deep cavern in sea level Florida. First strong rain that comes along, problem solved.
Nice. I didn't think about that. Good point.
Nicely done. Brian Dunaway.
Day of the Dead. Like wearing your pants up to your tits. This movie's angry acting is just too damn high. Also, all the shopping malls are closed.
All right. And then finally, Brian Ibbett.
Day of the Dead. The best way to watch this movie as a Where's Waldo drinking game. There's wedding dress zombie. There's tennis player zombie. Those are my rules. I'm running this monkey farm.
See, there's the monkey farm. Good. Nicely done.
Frankenstein.
You didn't yell it quite as loud.
I didn't say Frankenstein, right.
Just handed to me. Here's my Foley. This is the alternate titles for the film. First, Bub was the best actor in the film, or Day of the Racists.
You bub or leave it.
I think we go with that one. I got an email here from, I like emails. You guys should send them into us, filmsack@gmail.com. Got one from Brian, another Brian, some other totally different Brian, who says, hey, you guys, love the show. Went back to watch Sudden Death with your commentary track, and I was doing so, I Googled the cast to see what else they'd done and found something very bizarre. Google brings up photos and bios for all of the cast, but the one for the little girl who plays Van Damme's daughter, Whitney Wright, has a photo of Tracy Ullman instead. I know, weird. I thought somebody was pulling a prank at first, but I think I figured it out. Whitney Wright was in a movie with Tracy Ullman called I'll Do Anything in 1994 and hasn't really done much else. When you Google her, the first image what comes up is Tracy Ullman. So Google just assumes this is a shot of Whitney and slaps Tracy's picture on her bio. Thought I'd share some Google weirdness. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Brian. That is weird, right?
So what do you type in?
You just type in, let's see, Google the girl's name. Whitney Wright, and it's spelled Whittini. And then Wright is Wright. It's kind of a screwy name.
It is. They do the little bio thing that pops up on the right-hand side with your...
Isn't that weird?
That is really weird.
It says actress. Are you that or she looks like...
That seems busted to me. It's screwed up there, is my thinking. Anyway, yeah, I love weird emails like this, so everybody out there, keep them coming. Thanks, Brian, for sending that one. Got a short one here I'm going to rip through real quick.
Yeah, do it.
I got a short one I'm going to rip through. Okay.
John wrote in and says, hey, guys, I love the show. His subject is Escape from Tomorrow. I also love it when you sack a movie that I forgot about or just never considered watching. You have your lists of films to sack, and I absolutely have loved all of them and have faith in you guys as always. But I wanted to point out a movie that just dropped on Netflix that may not be on your radar right now. It is called Escape from Tomorrow. It is an indie movie that was recently filmed guerrilla style on the grounds of both Disneyland and Disney World without permission. Oh, yeah. I would love to hear your take on it. Either way, have fun and keep on sacking. I don't know what this is.
I've heard of this.
I watched a trailer on this, and I was interested in seeing what they did.
Living 10 minutes away from Disneyland, you hear about all sorts of Disneyland news. And so I never know whether I'm hearing something that's actually, going to stretch out and be important to anybody else. Elsewhere in the world. Like Disneyland news. It's freaking weird. Outside Shaquille O'Neal went to Disneyland today. So what?
Yeah.
This particular thing looked very interesting. I wouldn't mind one of us doing a little pre-screen and seeing if it's something we all need to...
I mean, it might, on the surface of it, unless it's terrible and campy, I don't know that it interests me for a show episode, but it does interest me as a thing I would like to see. Yeah,
I remember reading it was on Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix, he says. You read about it before, Ibit?
Yeah, I've heard about it with the, because all the, basically, there are no real extras in the film. It's all just other people at Disneyland.
That were just there, right?
They were just there.
Because they didn't have any permits, no permission.
No, exactly. I mean, they just walked around Disneyland filming this horror movie.
How do you get on Netflix doing that? Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it, so it is on Netflix? I see it on Google Play for $3.99.
Let me double check. What did he say? He said it just dropped onto Netflix is what he said.
Okay, cool. Oh, I definitely want to see this, but I don't know. I'm with you guys. I don't know if this would definitely be a good film sack thing because it's...
It might be interesting to talk about, but yeah, I don't know if we... I think I'll watch it and just maybe mention it next week and just kind of see what I thought about it. Maybe kind of do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
No, we can't do that. Nerd Tacklers next week.
Yeah.
I have a question I should probably ask when we're not recording.
Yeah.
All four of us... Do all four of us have Amazon Prime?
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
I think Brian? So, Ibit?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Just thinking, man, they have really, their apps and their service has just
they've upped their really, game. Yeah,
it's gone through the roof the last year or so.
All that new HBO stuff isn't just crazy good. And
We often turn away good suggestions when they're not on Netflix streaming, but I'm starting to think maybe we should say both Netflix streaming and Amazon Prime streaming.
I'm always curious about that because all of our, you know, we've been doing this for a while and we have a great numbers of listeners, and I'm always going, are we excluding people who don't have Netflix? And they probably wouldn't tell us because they probably never really listened to the show.
It's a good point. There's a chance that people who are interested in films and would even bother with things like this they're going to have streaming services, and I think there's a high likelihood, at least by now, many of them are using Prime, even if it's just for shipping and haven't bothered with the streaming yet. You know, they can because it's all included. So, yeah, I agree with that. I think that if there's something that we can't get here or can't get on Netflix but can over there and it's totally a sackable thing, we should go ahead and add it to the list. I don't have a problem with that.
And a number of films are on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to look it up every time so I can pitch that out to the Twitterverse and make sure the people that don't have Netflix can watch it.
Yeah. So we try to be as inclusive as we can. But even so, sometimes we'll do a DVD somebody sent us and that thing's nowhere streaming. So
good luck.
Yeah. Good luck with that. If you guys want to send your own emails, again, filmsack@gmail.com would be lovely. We'd be happy to do it. Our next movie is Maximum Overdrive. It is our film sack for Nerdtacular 2014. So Saturday morning, we'll be streaming it live. What's that day? The 5th. 5th of July from the stage. We'll stream it. I've got video clips, or I will. I don't yet. I got to do that this weekend.
And we got the cab driver there. He's going to be singing for us.
Yeah, of course, always.
A little Who Made Who. It's going to be great.
Why not? We're going to do that. I'm really stoked about this because it's Emilio Estevez making a return. It's a horrible Stephen King adaptation. It's cars who come alive and kill people. I don't know
and
what
Green
else you
Goblin.
Guys.
Green Goblin.
What?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah. That the toy truck is like the Green Goblin.
Or like an actual Marvel licensed Green Goblin.
Yes.
That's great because that's back when Marvel gave stuff away for nothing.
Right.
I love that idea.
It's going to be great.
I suspect this is going to be a ball, so I'm really stoked about it as a film sack movie. Regardless, we were going to do this one anyway. We've had it on the list for ages, but perfect time to do it. It's very visual, so we're stoked about it. So please, those who are coming, can't wait to see you guys, to see us do it live. For those who are streaming in or catching it that way, that'll be fun too. And of course, anybody listening at home on the MP3 will be getting it there as well, just like we do every year.
Every year.
So watch for that. Good times. Filmsack.com is the website. You'll want to be going there and leave comments in the blog or whatever. If you have feelings about what we said today and about the Zambies, that's a great place to do it.
Feelings.
On Filmsack. Filmsack.com is our website. Filmsack@gmail.com. The email, I already said that. Let's see. On Twitter, Filmsack. That's going to do it for us and to you and from Brian and from Brian and from Randy and from me. I don't know why I said it that way. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Hello.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.